I have got some things to yell about.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite thing to hear from Brett in the morning. Oh, no. It is a professional corporate airplane.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Flying through the sky.
I've got thoughts.
Oh, boy. Here, let's go. This is going to be quite the episode. Strap in.
I went to the theme song right away so I could get to the yelling.
Awesome.
Active Dads on Adobe Radio. I'm Brett, and I read emails word for word. He's Nathan, and he's on iCarly. And fair warning to everybody out there, we're actually recording this episode at a different time than we usually do. It's like early, buddy.
It's very early. The sun has only just begun its journey across the sky.
Oh, my gosh.
And my brain has not begun its journey to my mouth yet.
Yeah, dude. So I'm exhausted. You guys can check out the Zoom. Look at this hair I got rocking right now, dude. I mean, I woke up, rolled over to producer Katie's place, like no shower. This is some. I'm also growing it out. So
well, yeah. So you got your natural oily essences in there, and as we know from the personal hygiene episode of Radioactive Dads, you have alternative thoughts to hair care and hygiene.
I'm glad you kept going. I was gonna say I have alternative thoughts about everything.
You do, but especially like borderline deviant thoughts about personal hygiene.
Ah, come on. Listen, if you guys are out there using shampoo, you're doing it wrong. Okay, just chill on the shampoo. You don't really need it.
Like, yeah, look at you. Look at that.
Hot water, you know, get your fingers in there, wrestle it around, and you're fine. As long as you stand under the hot water for long enough, you're fine.
Yeah.
All good.
Just fry it with searing, boiling lava hot water. It's far more healthy than some soap.
You strip out all the natural oils, baby.
Well, that's why you do it like me, and you only bathe once a week, but you do it with shampoo.
Listen, Nathan, I hear you in theory. But everywhere I go, people go, oh, this dude's hair. Oh, my God. Greatest hair in the world. I mean, I'm standing in like,
oh.
I'm telling you, other dudes. I'm telling Nathan, I get complimented on my hair more from other dudes than I ever have from females in my entire life. And dudes are always just like, bro, how do you get your hair so, oh, man, it looks so. And I go, stop washing your hair. And they're like, no, I couldn't do that. And I go, you just asked. You just asked how to do it. And they're usually all bald too. And I'm like, I'm telling you, man, you poisoned your follicles, dude. Let it flow.
Like the spice.
Let it flow. Let it flow.
Nathan. I like how you went Frozen and I went Dune. Like that says a lot about us.
So we're Radioactive Dads, everybody. And whether you're listening on Adobe Radio or on a podcast app, we do appreciate it. You guys send your emails to radioactivedads@gmail.com. We'll read them a little bit later in the show. But first up, Nathan, it's travel season. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really get to talk about it around the Thanksgiving episodes. But I've done some traveling. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done any traveling since March of 2020. And I now realize that I don't miss it at all. And that I hated it the whole time. And what the hell are we doing to each other out there? The airports are insane. The flight crews are mostly insane. Everyone who works at the airport is insane. Everyone who goes to the airport is insane. Everyone who drives a car to and from the airport is insane. What are we doing? It's the worst experience on earth that leads to the greatest experiences on earth.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world? Is it like some sort of human thing where we're like, well, we must put ourselves through hell so we can get to heaven? Or right. Like, what is this masochistic, ridiculous experience called air travel that we all have to live through?
I feel like at this point, the precedent has just been set where now people just go into it knowing that it's going to be awful. And therefore it is a self-fulfilling prophecy where they make it awful. Because you're just strapped in on literally starting from when you have to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get in the car to avoid the traffic. And you're just driving to LAX in the dark. You're just gearing yourself up for, okay, I'm going to get cut off.
And to your point, you know you're driving to LAX, which is the world's worst airport, I swear. I would put LAX up against anyone, any of your airports that you think aren't great. LAX is the worst.
Yep. Whatever their system is for getting people around that little circle needs work.
That's so bad.
I have lost so many hours of my life to that circle at LA.
God forbid you miss where you're supposed to be, you know, because then you got to go all the way back around. And for some reason, the international terminal they put in the middle. So it's like no matter what you want to do, you still got to go past Tom Bradley and you're taking your life in your own hands. It's ridiculous.
Yep. Absolutely. It's completely bonkers. And like, I think there's supposed to be a train or something that they keep dangling the carrot in front of people of saying, oh, you can just start taking the train to the airport in 2047.
Dude, why is every airport around the world, or at least every airport that I've ever been to, why is every single one of them under construction?
I don't know. Well, all the biggest ones, I guess, were built in, you know, when aviation just started to become a thing in the 40s.
Yeah.
So they didn't exactly have the traffic considerations, I guess, that we have now. And all of a sudden they're realizing, oh, this was a bad plan. Yeah. It looked pretty, but it doesn't actually work.
I have a plan. If you guys want to vote for me, Davern 2024, I have a plan.
Oh, what's your plan, Brett?
Why don't you idiots take all of the money that you're putting into the construction at the old joint and put it into a brand freaking new joint somewhere else where you can do whatever the hell you want while the other one's being used. That way you're not killing all of us with this 35-year construction project. Why don't you do a 6-year construction project somewhere else where you're making the hallways bigger than you think they'll ever have to be? Make a mega airport somewhere else. And then on some magic day, you cut the ribbon and we all start using that one. And then guess what happens when we all start using that other one? Take all the money you were going to put into constructing on that other one and start rebuilding the other one again. Mm-hmm. The first one.
Yeah.
And then 20 years later, we'll switch back to that one. And we'll just switch airports all the time. But it'll be much better than going to that dump that you've been working on for 35 years. I'm losing my voice. I'm so upset.
We're just getting started and you're getting completely
Oh, wrecked. Man. I'm so upset, dude. And we haven't even gotten off the ground yet either.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I think that, but like I said, so that's the thing. It sets the stage when you're in this dog eat dog traffic circle where you're jockeying around people. And then, you know, it used to work where you could be the smarty pants and depending on the, because LAX is two levels. Mm-hmm. There's the upper departure level and the lower arrival level. We would get fancy for a little while and say, hey, meet us, take the escalator, meet us up on the departure side.
Just go to the other one because it would be empty. Yeah.
Right. Because they kind of alternate, like different times of the day. There's a lot of people coming or a lot of people going.
Yeah.
But that doesn't even work anymore. We thought we beat the system. And now everything is just completely, completely awful.
It's a nightmare. And also the getting an Uber and Lyft when you land at LAX, especially. And then I know at a lot of other airports, they've changed it as well. But LAX is terrible. You have to take a shuttle. Then you go to this lot. Then you can't even order your car till you get to that lot. So, like, it takes you the 40 minutes or an hour on the shuttle to just get to the lot. Then when you get to the lot and you order your car, it says, oh, he'll be here in 35 minutes. And you're like, what?
Right.
Okay. And now you're just sitting there baking in a parking lot in torrents. Yeah. This is ridiculous. I mean, seriously, there has to be a better way.
Well, I will say the better way, at least right now, is just fly out of Burbank, man.
Yeah.
Because you pay more and you almost definitely have to make a layover somewhere because it's a big airport, but it's not that big. But dude, you pull up and then you walk to the thing and then you go through security in 5 minutes and then you're just there.
Yeah.
And then you fly to a bigger airport where you're already through security and then you go wherever you want. But you know, that has completely, especially with family stuff, that has completely saved our sanity.
Dude, my solution is going to be to move to Bend, Oregon and never fly anywhere again. You know
there
what
you
I mean?
Go.
Like,
that's
I'm
the better way.
Cabin in the woods, dude. I'm done with all of you guys. You guys can have it. I mean, because it's not even the frustration and the – and I'm sorry if I'm stressing anybody out because I know a lot of holiday travel's coming up. But, hey, we got to complain about it, all right? So,
sure.
It's not just like the construction, the methodology of the airports or whatever themselves. It's people, man. What has happened to all of us? Okay. Seriously, you guys, the logic and common sense has completely left us in so many ways. Like we all figured out somewhere along the line, oh, if we take a carry on, then I don't have to check a bag and I can just breeze off the plane when I get to where I'm going. Mm-hmm. That has created absolute insanity at the airport because mm-hmm. the bag checking system is completely ridiculous now. If you even are doing that, most people aren't doing that, which then leads to there's absolutely no room on the plane for anything. So then you're just checking bags at the gate anyway. Then that becomes a mess that slows down the boarding process. And then they're asking people to hand over their bags because people should have been checking those ones anyway. These companies, these bag companies, are making bags that are way too big to fit in the overhead. So how are you making that and calling it a carry-on? That's amoral. It's ridiculous and leading to complete frustration at the airport. You see, old ladies, Nathan, who can barely walk, are bringing like three carry-ons onto the plane because they're so afraid of spending $30 to check a bag because the airline started charging for check bags somewhere along the line. What mm-hmm. in the F? Dude, I moved myself to New York back in the day by taking two check bags every single time for free. That's how I moved myself there. Two bags at a time. Every time I would come home, this is a God's honest truth. Every time I would come home, I would bring an empty huge duffel bag inside of my suitcase. I'll bring an empty duffel bag. I would fly home. I would grab more stuff from my childhood home and then fly back to New York. And I moved myself there like that for free.
Mm-hmm. How many trips did that take, by the way?
I go back home like twice a year. I lived there for 4 years, you know, I don't know.
So in eight trips, you moved every earthly possession in a duffel bag and a suitcase.
There was a couple odd trips in there. Anyway, the point
That's impressive.
The point is that I was taking giant bags that weighed like 65 to 70 pounds a piece, okay? Mm-hmm. And now everyone's going to go, well, you know, Greta and climate change wasn't around back then, and you were really increasing the carbon footprint. Yeah, okay, I understand that. And we shouldn't just be, you know, bringing bowling balls onto airplanes. I get it. All
right. Right.
But
you also could have driven, and that would have been even worse if you took an individual car across the entire country rather than putting a 15-pound overweight bag onto an airplane with everybody else's stuff.
Look, we're getting into the weeds. The point is that I didn't have to pay $30 per bag. And you know what I mean? Like, who came up with that? What kind of evil genius came up with that? That's crazy.
Whoever wanted to maximize their little capitalist profits.
I know, but then we all do it like a bunch of lemmings instead of just going, no, no, I won't do it. You know? I mean.
Well, that's the other. That's why we started flying on Southwest, too, because they're the last airline that doesn't charge for bags. It's like that automatically saves you, especially when you're flying with like a family of four. That automatically saves you like $150.
Dude, it's crazy that you then it's like a tax right when you get to the airport. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And you've already paid for the Uber. You've already paid the exorbitant amount for the tickets already. Then you're paying for checked bags if you have to check a bag. God forbid you have to check a bag. So you try to stuff everything that you can into the smallest suitcase that you can find just so that you can carry it on, just to have the person at the front of the thing be like, well, you got to check it. I mean, at least it's free at that point, but it's just the whole rigmarole is ridiculous. You know, not to mention, I mean, Nathan, I'm seeing elderly people have to like try to whip these carry-ons onto the security belt to get it over the lip of the little plastic thing that you got to now put your suitcase in for some reason. This is getting ridiculous. And then every suitcase now is getting pulled out of the thing because they all have ridiculous things inside of them. Mm-hmm. And so that's slowing down security. I mean, guys, really, I need your vote. Davern 2024. I'm just running on airport policy alone, okay? Like, Nathan, there was a guy in front of me in the security line, okay? Just a regular-looking dude with his two sons, okay? I'm pretty sure they were his two sons. One of them looked like he was about 10. The other one looked like he was about 7. They're all wearing backpacks. Each one of them had a rolling as well.
Sure.
And they're waiting in front of me. They get up to the TSA person to show ID and all that kind of stuff. Dad shows the ID. Kids don't have IDs because they're kids. And the TSA person is like, oh, is this your dad? They're like, yeah. And then she's like, she looks at the taller of the kids and she goes, and how old are you? And he goes, I'm 11. And she's like, oh, okay. And she looks at the younger one. She's like, how old are you? He goes, I'm 7. And then she looks back at the 11-year-old and she goes, you're going to have to take your shoes off, but you don't have to. And my head almost exploded with like, what are we doing? There's some arbitrary number.
Once you're 11, you could be a terrorist.
I mean, or like if your dad's a terrorist, he'll put it in your shoes.
Right, but not the 7-year-old shoes.
Like,
because those shoes don't have a cavity large enough to hold the little firecracker size explosives required.
I wanted to tap the 11-year-old on the shoulder and explain to him that the TSA agent was just asking the dad which one of you he'd rather sacrifice. Like, do you realize what just happened there? That's crazy, yeah. Right? Yeah. And also just makes no logical sense at all and is just completely numbs my brain. And also, they don't make you take off your shoes once you're past a certain age, too. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that also makes absolutely no sense.
I'm sure who is going to figure out the fact that you could totally just stick some bad stuff into an elderly person's shoes and they wouldn't even know. Do it while they're fast asleep because they can sleep through anything. Just slip those bad boys off, put your contraband in there, and then no one's the wiser. How come? I've seen some sketchy old people.
How come
everyone just assumes once you're past 65 or 70, you couldn't possibly dream of bringing down an airplane?
This is my point.
Ageist.
The older you get, the less Fs you give, actually.
Yeah, the more tired of the system. I've been on 7,000 flights, and this is my last one,
And the bigger their shoes get. They get padded, you know.
The soles are 4 inches thick.
Anti-slip, you know, that's a lot of rubber down there. I think actually the elderly should be the ones being forced to take their shoes off. TSA agents should just be grabbing old people's feet and just, you know, yanking their shoes off as fast as possible.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The whole thing just makes no sense and is ridiculous. And I'm sick of taking off my shoes at the airport because one guy one time a million years ago, and now we're just never going to put that toothpaste back in the tube, even though it's completely stupid. And the idea that you have Nathan, the comedy of that comes into my brain when I picture like full blown business professionals of a certain age walking around a room together with their shoes off. It's just so silly. Isn't it funny? Like just a bunch of adults being like walking around in their socks. It's
like
so
belt,
funny.
Belt. Everyone's undoing their belts and taking their jackets off.
Most
like,
people have socks on, which is what makes it look so silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bunch of adults with socks on. And we're so scared of germs these days, right? Why are we taking our shoes off and then walking around in our socks all together in the same place of the airport? Where are the COVID police on taking your shoes off at the airport? Because a lot of people have bare feet even. There's got to be germs everywhere around the TSA part.
Who's getting an irreparable fungus as a result of tromping around the area where thousands of people from all over the world collect in one lane to wipe their wet, sweaty, stress feet on the ground only to be transferred to the next person behind them?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't like it. I think it's disgusting. I need your vote. Davern 2024.
So I want to make sure that we have this nailed down. When people vote Davern 2024, no platform whatsoever of any other issues or anything else. It is 100% airport reform.
Yeah. All airport, all the time. Transportation to and from the airport and airport. And then air travel. That's all I'm running on.
Yeah, the most effective job for you to change that definitely is President of the United States.
Absolutely.
For sure.
President,
I'm with you.
Listen, here's what I'm saying. Everything else remains the same. I'm going to work on this one thing for 4 years, but I'm going to clean it up forever. Come on. I think that's a good trade-off.
It's the perfect plan.
Listen, Why does everybody try to work on everything for 4 years? Just pick one thing and rock it.
And you will be remembered for that one thing.
And then the next person comes in, they pick their other thing. Then they rock it out. And then after like 12 years, we got some good... Yeah, I mean, come on. Dude, in your life, fixing airline travel might be one of the things that creates the most happiness. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. That's true. I think you cracked it. I think you cracked presidency.
All right. Thank you. That's one vote. I'm going to need a lot
more. You got
more.
My vote. That's
all
it.
Right. Tay, turn it up, guys. We'll be right back to talk about more silly things on Radioactive Dads.
Listening to Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio.
Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio. I'm Brett. He's Nathan. I read emails word for word. Nathan, we're complaining and talking about air travel because
yes, we are.
Why not?
Oh boy.
I'll just put everybody's blood pressure through the roof before the holidays. dude, it's just it's not good. It's not good. And it's not fun, and it doesn't make any sense at all. And the security of it all doesn't really make sense, and it takes forever. And I don't understand why in 2021 you have to both take out the laptop and the iPad, but you can leave the cell phone or in your backpack. Like, or I mean, there's just things that just don't make sense.
Yeah. That's where it's the whole – I think John Oliver did a whole thing on it on Last Week Tonight about just security theater and how just patently absurd and contradictory most of it is. And that only made me madder the next time I went to the airport and was like, this is stupid. This is pointless. Isn't doing anything.
I guess I've just never really understood, like, wouldn't the answer be I mean, okay, the simple metal detector, I totally get it. Like, no one wants anyone to bring a gun on a plane. Like, I totally get it. But isn't, like, stadium security enough for the airlines, too? Because, like, nothing happens at stadiums, right? Like, we're all pretty good there. And it's just, like, a simple metal detector with, like, a quick pat down in case the detector goes off by too much. In case your keys – maybe you're a custodian, you know? Maybe you have a lot of keys. Like, okay. So they just make sure that that's what it was. And then you're all good. And that seems like the proper level to me. You know, if you bring a backpack in, they just ask you to open it real quick and they check it out. All right. Good enough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You'd think.
Except, you know, you can't have that announcement. That's the problem. Like, hey, everybody, we're rolling back security at the airport.
Right.
That's the problem. Yeah. So once you put it in place, then it's just going to be in place forever. It's kind of like the mask mandates and stuff. Like, and listen, we don't need to get into this too much. But it's just the point is like, of course it's hard to roll that back once it's a thing because then everybody gets used to it and everybody sort of understands it. And so then it's hard to be the person who stands up and says, hey, everyone, you don't have to do that anymore. And so that's why it sort of like doesn't happen or whatever. But anyway, you know, it's weird. Go ahead.
It's also fun too, because I don't know if this was your context for travel, but everything that happens at the airport gets amplified by 10 when you're trying to do it with children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not just managing taking off all of your, you know, your shoes and various articles of clothing and taking your stuff out of your bags. It's also taking out the kids' water bottle and making sure that they don't just run away from you and that they're standing where they're supposed to stand and don't cut in line before going through the scanner. And then you have to make sure that all that stuff came out. You have to get all your stuff off the belt while you're making sure that they're over there where they're supposed to be. You got to get the stroller off the belt, which never fits in the thing.
Oh,
so then it becomes this whole everything, the line
and
shuts down
up.
Because they got to bring a supervisor over to check out your stroller, make sure you don't.
Well, because the stroller got hung up on the conveyor belt and now the machine is steaming and smoking and sparking and we've ruined the entire thing. I was going to go back, though, for a second, too, and say the horrifyingly sad and tragic scene that I witness almost every time at the airport of young mothers begging TSA agents because they're like, it's breast milk. I promise. I swear on my firstborn, who you're looking at right now, that this came from my teat. Please, sir, let me buy onto your cylindrical metal tube that flies through the air in some sort of magical way, please. This is my own breast milk, I swear to you. It's so sad, Nathan. It's so sad. What are we doing to each other? This is my point. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, you laugh, but I'm telling you, if you could clean this up in some sort of way and make it sort of how it was, all I want to do is, and this is, well, make air travel great again, Nathan.
Okay? Oh, no. You can't, your slogan for anything ever in all of space and time can Look. Never be make blank great again.
I know, I get it.
Never in your life.
Even I had to take a second and be like, okay, wait, hold on. I don't know if I'm about to say this, but whatever.
That has been co-opted into oblivion.
No, but like, really though, I think seriously, I mean, if you, these sort of, we kind of overlook these things sometimes, like these mundane sort of like, well, we just put up with it or whatever. But really, oh, this is why I said that. I don't want to go like all the way back or anything. You know, we don't need people wearing suits on planes. And I'm not one of those like get off my lawn type, you know, guys. But like just go back a little bit, just a little to where it was just a little more relaxed. And I mean, what's with passengers, by the way? You want to talk about what we're doing to each other? What's with passengers punching flight attendants and stuff? And all the fights that are happening in the air now, like, you guys, I understand that we haven't been around each other for a while, but we kind of remember what it was like. We're fine. The person in 2F didn't mean it that way. You don't have to knock them out. Calm down, everyone. Jeez, Louise. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll take on the airlines, but I'll also take on the passengers too, because I'm seeing some rude people in the security lines also. I'm seeing people, I mean, guys, we've all flown before. You know you have to take your laptop out. Quit arguing with the guy. I think it's ridiculous too, but I still know you have to do it.
You got to get on the plane. The rules are very clearly displayed everywhere.
I see I see other travelers who there's no way that this many people have never flown before. And I see behavior at the airports from other travelers so much that like makes it look like they have like never taken a plane before. And they just act so ridiculous entitled. And I mean, it's just, you know, dude, what about the system of getting on the plane? Most airlines, this whole zone thing and all of that. It's so ridiculous. It's so silly. If I get to the gate before you and they're boarding, I should just be able to walk on the plane. It doesn't matter what number I am. You know what I mean? This like stopping of passengers like, whoa.
Are you diamond platinum elite?
I'm sorry. I mean, well, I maybe kind of get first class then general, but like when they're like, we're doing zone 2 and you're zone 3, you need to stop and wait. It's like, this is a bit ridiculous, I think, at this point. There was never really a problem when we would all just line up and get on the plane. I remember doing it when I was a kid. I don't remember any fist fights over it. Wasn't really that big a deal.
That's the thing though. I do remember I remember like lines that went through the airport.
Yeah.
Because everyone was trying to just get on at the same time.
Well, so what? And so you stand in a line. We all do that at Disneyland, right?
Right. But I think that just goes back to like airports just weren't even designed for that.
Yeah.
Because it was just the people in the 60s smoking their cigs waiting to get on the plane.
Yeah.
And they'd look up from their Time magazine and go, well, I guess it's time. And then they would, you know, it wasn't the, oh, get on the thing. We got to get the book.
Okay. Well, Nathan, this is the real point, I think, is that everyone is just so anxious and nervous all the time about everything. And I don't know who's doing it to us, if it's the corporations, if it's ourselves, I don't know what's up. But like, to your point, everybody, just go to the airport bar, have a beer, and get on 5 minutes before the plane leaves. You'll be fine. Except here's the thing, Nathan. Everyone's got a carry-on. And it all comes back to the carry-ons. Because the reason everyone wants to get on early is because they got to find a place for their carry-on. The guy back in the 60s smoking the Lucky Strike there didn't have any carry-on. The only carry-on he had was the newspaper he's going to roll up and put under his arm. And like a briefcase or something like that probably. Or, you know, a lady with like a handbag, you know, that was about it. And so you didn't have to run onto the plane. But then this whole bag check thing and the whole, I don't, rigmarole of all the blah, 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 and everybody wanting to run out of the airport because they want to get the Uber before the person and the blah, 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 blah. Like, we're all just moving way too fast. Just slow down, baby. Slow mm-hmm. down. Have you ever been on a plane, Nathan, in your adult life without carrying a bag?
Like not carry on or check bag or anything?
Nothing, just walking on.
I don't think so.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
Well,
it's amazing.
I'm sure it is, but what life situation mm-hmm. allows for that to happen? Where
you.
You're somewhere for one afternoon.
Mm-hmm. I have an answer.
And then go ahead. I need to know.
One night in Vegas.
Oh,
it's the best.
Wait, you say overnight in Vegas?
Uh-huh.
But no bag?
No bag. I mean, yeah, you're good. You just wake up the next morning, throw the pants back on, jump on the plane. You're fine. It's okay. You'd be a little stinky. It's fine.
A little stinky. Okay.
Yeah.
It's Vegas.
If you most hotels, though, they have the little thing downstairs. You can pick up a deodorant. You can, you know, you
That's
a,
true.
Take a shower while you're there. And, you know, you just got to, like, yeah, you might have to spend a couple bucks for a toothbrush and a toothpaste down in the lobby, but they all have it.
Yeah.
And you're fine. And I've only done it – I think I've only done it twice that I flew without a bag of any kind. And by the way, that includes check-in, or what am I trying to say? Check bag.
Carry on. Yeah.
And, yeah, it's awesome. It's really great. I recommend it to everybody. If you're flying somewhere and you're checking a bag, though, like let's say you went somewhere and you knew you were taking too much stuff, so you were planning on checking the bag, then
right.
try to walk on without a carry-on. It's awesome.
Yeah. That's basically what we do now. And especially because most of the time we're flying Southwest, you get two free bags per person. So we can take even like Evie flies for free because she's young,
mm-hmm.
but we can take six giant suitcases if we wanted to.
Yeah.
And for that reason, then you just need like the diaper bag.
Yeah.
And like I'll bring my backpack because it's got just like my laptop and snacks and some extra toys and stuff for whichever baby
yeah.
I am on duty for.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. We don't really do the overhead bin thing, and we haven't for years.
Well, listen, if you're by yourself though, next time, don't even take the backpack. Just put your laptop like in your checked bag, wrap a couple sweatshirts around it or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and because it's also a pretty weird feeling. I have to admit, you feel kind of naked.
Yeah, I'm imagining it right now, I kind of don't like it.
I know.
Like,
I
have to have something on my shoulders as I'm going down the aisle of
the plane. Like, the whole time in the airport, because I went with some pals. It was a one-night in Vegas thing, so why not? And we went to, like, the airport bar and stuff, and, you just stand up to move or whatever, and you're like, where's my backpack? Where'd it go?
Mm-hmm.
You have to constantly remind yourself, like, you didn't bring one, stupid.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah.
Feels weird. If I'm not walking down the aisle of the plane, accidentally slapping someone in the face with my backpack, it's just not a plane ride for me.
Yeah. It was kind of great. I just took my phone and I grabbed a phone cord and charger and just put that in my pocket next to my phone. Right.
Oh, so I was about to say, was this in the flip phone days where the phone lasted 2 or 3 days and you just didn't have to charge it?
How dare you? How dare you? Was this in the
flip phone
days?
I'm just asking.
How dare you? No, this was in like 2018 or something. 19.
Man.
Yeah. Just so charger. Let's see. I didn't take any keys because I Ubered to the airport. So no need for keys.
So wallet, charger.
Wallet, charger, phone, like a chapstick, I think.
You got to have that chapstick.
Got to have the chapstick just in case you get a little dry. I think that was it, honestly. And then I did t-shirt, hoodie, like denim-y jacket over the top, like styly, so like layered it up, right?
Sure.
And
then
just like, jeans, you know, comfortable shoes, whatever. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
There you go. Boom.
Interesting.
Walk on.
Yeah, we did. Actually, we did get stuck in Vegas once because we fly standby a lot, or we did before Rosie was born. And it was like really hot. It was a big heat wave and none of the planes could take off. There was like weight restrictions, so we got booted off the plane, and we kind of got forced into that. We still had our backpacks and stuff, but we had to do that where we were just like, well, we're stuck in Vegas overnight and there's nowhere to go. So we kind of had to have that experience. And I will say it was stinkier than you're letting on. It was like I had to take my socks off and lay them on the air conditioning thing in the room.
Gross.
Because they needed air. They needed air to go through them. Otherwise, it would have been very dank that next morning. But it was fun. It's interesting that Vegas is kind of like the – I guess from L.A. it's close enough that it just feels like it's more of a jaunt.
Yeah, you guys could – well, if you could have gotten your bags, you could have just rented a car and drove home probably.
Yeah. Well, no, we were going out. It was outbound to so it was another state. However, that said, I do feel like we are getting to the point where once Evie doesn't fly free anymore, I think we're just going to start trying to drive most places.
Yeah.
Even if it takes a little while to get there,
yeah,
and just put a movie on the thing and go, so that we have the car when we're there. We don't have to do the baggage thing. We can have as much crap as we want in the bag. Bring the dog if there ever is one, and just have a family experience rather than trying to go through like 10 hours of hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this whole deal.
I have more questions about the airport. One, and now this is sort of the mask question, which I get why the mask on the plane, we're all, you know, elbow to elbow. I get that one. But in the airport itself, and it's kind of funny because I just get through security, then I go find the nearest little restaurant thing and grab a table and then just take my mask off and sit there and like casually eat whatever, just because it's behind the ears is starting to hurt, man. It's like annoying, you know? And yep. I'm not like an anti-masker by any means, but it's just, they're uncomfortable. Let's just all be honest about it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I do. And then I sit there and I just think it's so funny how if you're walking out there to your gate, you need the mask on. But if you're sitting right here, which I'm sitting 2 feet from everybody walking past me, I don't have to have it on. It's just back to the logical thing again, you know, like it just sort of doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, the restaurants already just don't make sense, where like you need the mask on if you're standing next, you know, at the host stand. But as soon as you sit down, you're with 150 other people who don't have to have it on just because you're sitting down. There's some sort of magic force field around you or something. I don't know. The logicality of all of this, Nathan, doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's the problem, is I think they're not doing it based on logic. It's just easier to have hard and fast rules.
Yeah.
We're like, that's the one exception, because otherwise, if they did an exception based on if it was actually medically relevant, there'd be so many that people would either forget or just like abuse that
system. But isn't this kind of like illogicalness in all forms what leads to frustration and anxiety and people getting punched in the face, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because my brain can't make sense of it, so therefore I just get annoyed and frustrated with it. And the longer I sit there and get annoyed and frustrated, and the more you know, IPAs I have at the airport bar, the more I might be liable to try to open the door while the plane is mid-flight. You know?
So you have that too? That's weird.
Everybody has that. Come on.
So like when you're standing there waiting for the bathroom, and you're the only person back there in the galley, and there's just that big lever with that red thing that says, don't do it. And you sit there going, oh, I kind of want to do it.
Yeah. Why do they, I mean, first of all, like, guys, you don't really need to even make it red. Even if this thing was going down in a fireball, or if we were underwater already from crash landing in the ocean, I think I know what handle it was. It's the biggest one on the door. Just grab it and yank on it. You don't have to make it red. And then the big do not touch sign is like, I kind of want to touch that now.
The 5-year-old in all of us says, well, I want to do the exact opposite of that. I want to have my Air Force One moment where we are flying through the air and I just, and then all this starts happening, and you get to say, get off my plane.
I mean,
and you know,
I also, it's funny too. Like I'm from Seattle, home of Boeing. Okay. So everybody,
Boeing,
listen to me, Boeing. No, the point was, is just listen to your local hometown boy. Listen to me. Why can we send William Shatner into space, but we still have to have the analog handle on the door? What? It seems like we could figure out something where, like, some flight attendant just has access to a button or whatever. Or, I mean, do we need – it's just kind of silly.
Well, isn't the whole point so that anybody could do it, not just the flight attendant? Because, like, in an emergency, anybody has to be able to –
why can't we just make it to where like, oh, hell yeah. All right, fine. But why can't we just make it to where it's like one of those like rubberized windows on the school buses where you could kick it out or something like that?
Yeah, that'll probably stand up to just know. Barely subsonic.
Take the brave man to admit when he's wrong, Nathan.
I think someone at Boeing is going, oh.
It's a good thing he doesn't work here.
Hometown boy. So glad he went to LA instead.
Well, my point is just like, if you're afraid of people grabbing a handle and ripping it open, then I think that all of us fancy engineers could figure out a way to make it so that that's not really a thing.
Fair point. Maybe Siri could do it. Maybe it could be like Face ID. Maybe you just stand in front of it, and if they're like, that doesn't look like a terrorist, then it'll unlock. Just let Siri figure it out. Take a wild guess.
No, do not give profiling privileges to Siri or Alexa. No.
You don't think that would backfire? Really?
There's got to be a way to like put it in the wall or something just to hide it. Maybe like we all know it's there, but since we can't see it, it's just out of sight, out of mind. How about that? Just put it behind some sort of privacy sheath.
Davern 2024. Hide the big red lever.
I'm back, baby. I'm back. Just needed a couple minutes to figure it out.
Hometown boy solves the I want to pull the lever problem.
The doors of the Oval Office go flying open, but it's me from the inside coming out going, I've got it! A privacy sheath!
Tavern approval rating skyrocket from privacy sheath platform.
A chicken in every pot, a privacy sheath on every plane. I need your vote.
Oh, that just has such a great ring to it.
We'll be right back to pull down our privacy sheaths and read your emails.
Oh,
and maybe
boy.
Reveal some things. We'll see. We'll be right back after this on Radioactive Dads. You wouldn't last a day in my head. A day in my head. A day in my head. Could you try it out sometime?
Their lawn. Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio.
You want to read some emails, Nathan?
Sure.
All right.
We should probably lighten it up after that spewing hate fest on all that is air travel.
Hey, listen, everybody listening can relate, dude. They get it.
Oh, 100%. I'm with you. Been there.
They get it.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
All right, so I read your guys' emails word for word. If you want to send them in, it's radioactivedads@gmail.com. Nathan, this one comes in from Josh, and he says,
Josh.
Would you guys ever consider doing a Radioactive Dads broadcast with my other favorite duo, Tyler Posey and Dylan O'Brien? Brett has had Tyler on his show and even played his song, and you guys have played his songs on Radioactive Dads, although Nathan acted with MTV's Teen Wolf alum Charlie Carver in Hawaii 5-0.
Mm.
Is that right? He reminds me a lot of Dylan O'Brien. Plus, I find Freddie and Styles, I think Styles is Dylan's character from Teen Wolf. Josh says, plus I find Freddie and Styles' characters similar. Would we want to have them on? Of course we would want to have them on. Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I would want to have them on. That would be fun, but I would have to get over, because I know you have this too.
Yeah.
Dylan is one of the actors who I always privately resent because he is the guy who gets everything that I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I remember when I went out for Maze Runner, that was my like, oh my gosh, this would be the coolest. I would so, so love to do this. And then he got it, which, I mean, he's great, so I can't be super mad about it. But then I wanted to go out for, there was like this kind of little fan campaign for me to do one of the characters in the next movie, Eris, because I like matched his description like perfectly from the books, apparently. I never read the books, but a lot of people said that I did. And so I started trying to go out for that, and they were like, no, you're too similar to Dylan. We need somebody who like seems different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and not only because of Dylan O'Brien, did I lose one, I lost the other one because I was literally too similar to Dylan O'Brien.
That's funny. I had a couple of callbacks for Styles for Teen Wolf. So
really, Boy, I get Dylan O'Brien just effed both of us. Dylan. So maybe Dylan. I'm not sure if we can have him on the show now.
We should get him on. Tyler.
It's all good blood in the acting community.
Tyler's such a good dude. I love talking to Tyler, and him and I are actually like friends outside of everything and hang out in real life. So we could try to get Tyler on. Dylan, I've met a bunch of times just from being on MTV at the same time, and he's a super nice guy. Like always, just, you know, just a good dude. You know what I mean? Like, actors, Nathan, like there were always the dudes in the waiting rooms that you'd run into at auditions and stuff that you looked forward to running into. And then there were some dudes that you're like, that guy again. And Dylan was definitely one of the ones that you kind of looked forward to running into, 'cause he's always like, has a fun little story to tell or something like that. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, we could try to work on those things. Why not? I think we should. From one duo to another.
Right.
Even though we've still never gotten to be in anything together. We have to be in something at some point together.
I know. I feel like we're not really a Hollywood duo until we've managed to pull that off.
Right now we're just we're a Hollywood power couple right now, but
right.
To be a duo.
We're like Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell.
That's right.
Because we have our podcast. Well, but they acted and stuff together. So they are a duo. But we're Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, like in process, in training. We're almost to that level.
We've been thwarted again by Dax and Kristen. What else is new?
Every time. Every time we think we're getting there.
Say goodbye to the people, Nathan, because we're out of time.
Oh, doggone it. Okay, well, bye, people. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Radioactive Dads. Again, as Brett said, if you've got stuff that you want to say, or if you want to vent about your air travel experiences, or if you've got any hot tips for us and the rest of the world, send us an email, radioactivedads@gmail.com. Shoot us a DM on all the social medias at Radioactive Dads. Check out our link trees and bios for links to the merch store to get your rad gear. And that's all I have to say. Oh, yeah, Brett's got his rad mug, and I've got mine on the way, and I'm very excited to share mugs with you, Brett. that sounds weird. Okay, bye, Brett.
Bye,
I'm going to stop talking. Bye.
Bye.
Is it for this week on Radioactive Dads. Nathan and Brett will be back next week with a brand new episode. Streaming on adobe.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The recording has stopped.